sweet. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I can relate. Amen. Amen. But an old devil, boy, he likes to bring out of her past. Amen. I like to tell him about my future. Amen. Amen. I like to tell him about his future every once in a while. Amen. I know where he's heading. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. It's good to have the Davis family with us. I appreciate all of our youngins tonight. It's always good to see youngins working in the Lord. I'm telling you, we're living in some weird days. We really are. It just seems like, again, you hear me say it all the time. You probably get tired of hearing me say it, but I'm just going to keep saying it anyway. Amen. It seems like we're losing ground in America. Seems like everything that used to be right is wrong, and everything that's wrong is right. Tomorrow, again, 3 o'clock at the commissioners, they're going to be voting on if you can pray in Jesus' name. Ain't that sad that in Rowan County, you'd have to vote to see if you could pray in Jesus' name. It's amazing, but if you need to be there. If you can be there tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, flood that place with that. And then our governor, I mentioned him in this morning, preacher, you shouldn't talk about stuff like that. Well, I just like to point out things that we all know about, amen. Y'all email your governor and tell him how disappointed you are in him. And just to rattle his cage a little bit about that vote or that veto that he says he'll veto there or has vetoed. And then Brother Melvin mentioned in the prayer room about this mess coming up. Pride Week. Ain't nothing prideful about the mess, is it? Amen. A bunch of homosexual sodomites is what I call them. We have got so accustomed to it. Homosexuality, sodomism, all that's pretty much commonplace in our day. It's sad. Our young people just say, well, that's just another day in the neck of the woods we live in. It shouldn't be that way. I'll make us puke, amen. But it seems like, well, do what you want to do. We'll do what we want to do. But listen, sin's sin. Right's right. Wrong's wrong. And we're in a mess. We really are. But I'm glad. I am so glad. Amen. I used to be chained to the devil. Amen. I used to be one of his, but praise God, God made a difference in my life. Amen. 13-year-old boy, vacation Bible school. Jesus Christ came by my way, showed me I was religious, showed me I was doing all those things. It was just the right things to do as far as mom and daddy said, but I was missing something. Amen. I was missing that blood. Amen. And I'm glad that blood can break away that sin. That's not just for this boy. It's for any boy, girl, man, woman. It doesn't matter. He can save anybody. Amen. And that's our hope tonight. And we need to get back to that, standing on truth. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And church, it's time for us to quit wagging our tails, quit just sitting around talking about all these things. Stand up, not prideful, but stand up for the things of God, knowing an assurance of the Word of God that we have a firm foundation that will not fail us. And march in these days, as Brother David knows in the men's class, talking about this warfare, we are in a war. We act like we're on vacation, friend. We're in a battle. And it seems like it's just people are falling all around us. You just think about, and he made mention of all, Brother, you said about 4 churches. I don't know how much you know about this area. When we came here the first time, I was told this is known as the highway to heaven. It is church after church after church on this road. I'm kidding you not. There's all flavors, man. It's like Baskin Robbins. You can just get whatever flavor you want. And, I mean, they're everywhere. And but there's only one truth, and it's not Baptist. There's only one truth, and that's the Word of God. And I'm thankful for this book that we have that God's given us. I have no problem standing up here and telling you what thus saith the Scriptures. And let's get back out onto the battlefield. The battle is raging, amen. Families are dying. Children are being eaten up in our day. There's so much mess. Let me say this. A lot of our children are in Christian school. Some of them are homeschooled. Praise God, we're done with school. Woo! Our children have grown. Amen. And I done told my wife we're not going to teach our grandchildren. Amen. But I've heard more in the last little bit, and I ain't going to say where I heard it from, but a lot of our schools use iPads and all this stuff, and I know technology of our day is there. But I heard twice already in the last little while, and once again today, of a young man that had an iPad, public school, your tax money paid for it, and they found pornography on it. Yeah. Thank you for buying that for him. Yeah. Mom and Dad, don't think your children are immune from this stuff. It's there. And as much as I love you, I try my. I'm on your side. We'll fight. As long as we're fighting on the right side, I'll fight with you. But listen, you don't sit there and think that the schools has got your children's best interest at heart.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Get involved with your children.
Yes, sir.
Well, they don't want me to follow behind them. I'd rather follow in behind them than find out later what they've been into. Amen. Amen. Accountability is a big thing. Amen. She knows my password to my phone. I know the password to her phone. Why? That's accountability. I don't have any problem her picking my phone up anytime. And I pick hers up. It's accountability. You need it. I need it. Your children need it. Amen. And the best that we can do, we still fail. But I want to throw up every guardrail that we can to try to protect our young people. Amen? Amen. I appreciate that good song. That was great. Appreciate all of our singing tonight. It's just been good. Amen. Well, I told you what I was going to preach, Lord willing, tonight. We're going to shoot this thing. Amen. I'm excited about preaching this evening. It's not going to be long. We got a shower. We got water's getting hot back there. We got to give these youngins a bath. No, we got a wedding shower here in a moment. But I was talking to a preacher, and he made this statement. I thought, man, that right there will preach. And I wrote it down, because if I don't write things down, I forget it. And then when I do write it down, I forget where I wrote it. But I kept this one in my mind, amen. And take your Bibles over to the book of Genesis. This isn't our Genesis study. We've been studying on Sunday nights about the Word of God. We're going to skip that tonight. We'll jump back in it next week. But tonight I just felt like this would be appropriate for the evening. God just showed me some things here. I hope it'll be a help to us this evening. Genesis chapter 29. Go look at Jacob tonight. Here in Genesis chapter 29. We're studying Genesis on Wednesday night, and we're way back in Genesis 3. It'll be a long time before we get to Genesis 29, but we'll get there. But we're going to look at some thought here in Genesis 29 this evening, just to try to be a help to you. We got three graduating high school this year. Do what? Four counting Timothy Dasso. He's graduating. We got a few that's graduating. And let me say this evening. You ought to have some goals. I know this is our youth night. This is all of us this evening. You know, I don't just preach to certain things, but this is all of us tonight. But, you know, you ought to have some things in your life. You ought to have some goals, some ambitions in life. You ought to ask God to show you what He'd have you to do. And when God shows you what He wants you to do, get in there and do it. Amen. I know we got Brother Davis here, a missionary. I hadn't really got time to talk with him much yet, and I know deputation ain't one of the greatest places in the world. Sometimes you get discouraged, I'm sure, along the trail. As I told Brother Stacy, he and his family set out to go to Peru, and back in the worst time, people said, there's no way you'll ever get your support because the economy was just tanked at that time. But God, if God's got you something to do, He gets you there. Amen. If you'll put your trust, that's what I told Stacy. Said, don't you try to do it. You let God do it. You just be obedient. You get up every day, spend time with the Lord, seek God's face, mind the will of God, and God will put everything together. Now, you just don't sit back on the couch and wait for a check to come in the mail. God gave you a back. God gave you a brain. Get to work and do something for the Lord. But we all this evening, from the oldest to the youngest this evening, we all have ambitions in life. We have goals in life. And I'm not against any of those things. There ought to be some things in your life you set out to do, and you ought to put purpose in your heart to do those things. And I'm going to say this evening. Here we have Jacob, a young man here, and we're going to look at something part of Jacob's life. And most of us tonight, as I talk to some of our young people, as I say, you know, where are you going to school? What do you want to do when you get older? That kind of thing. I'm 46 years old, and I'm doing what I want to do. That's preach. That's where I didn't realize it when I was your age, amen. I never would have dreamed when I was a teenager that I'd be preaching today. This is where God wants me to be, and I'm thankful that God lets me be a preacher, and I don't make no reservations for that. But I'm saying this evening, when it comes to goals, when it comes to our lives of these young people, I got to looking. I looked at the girl, ladies when they were singing, Lord Bethany, and they were singing, and Brooklyn and me, I was thinking, my goodness, look how them youngins have grown. I was in my office, and I was looking for something on my hard drive, and I started flipping through some pictures of the church, and we've been here a little bit over 10 years. It's been 10 years in May. And I was back when we first got here, started looking through some pictures, and I was amazed at how young some of y'all used to look. Yeah. But I was looking at some of our youngins. I seen Hannah and Chloe, and they looked like they wasn't about that big. I mean, how old are you now? 17. She was 7 years old when we came here, when we first met her. How old are you, Chloe? How old are you now? 14. She was 4 years old. Wow. And I was thinking all these young. I was looking at all these youngins. I think, man, look at how they've grown and how they, a lot of them's going to camp with us. A lot of them's doing things for the Lord, and it excites me. And they all got something inside of them they want to do. And I'll never forget my brother. He was getting ready to get married. He sat down, and nothing wrong with this by no means. He was trying to write out a budget, you know, and he was trying to look at how things were going to go. And he took it to my grandpa and says, "Grandpa, what do you think?" And grandpa took the piece of paper and wadded it up and threw it in the trash can and says, "It'll never work." Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? A friend of mine's grandpa told him he was getting ready to get married. He says, "What you need to do," he was living by himself at that time. He says, "What you need to do is every day when you get home from work, you fix two meals, throw one out the window and eat the other." He said, "That's how life's going to be from here on." Life, we know, goes on. And these young people, my goodness, how they've grown over these last 10 years. We've had other people come in these past 10 years, of course. And we've got a lot of babies coming around. We've got different things happening. But what I'm saying this evening, we all look at life. And I want to tell you, most of us tonight, when we look at life, these young people, they look at their future and they got great ambitions. They want to get a college education, maybe. Maybe some of them want to marry a preacher. Maybe some of them want to be preachers. I don't know. God's still calling people, maybe missionaries. But they get an idea of what they think they want to do, and they dream of what their future might be. And these fellows are dreaming of some young gal that God's going to give them. Man, she's beautiful and she's wonderful, and they're just going to have a wonderful life. And man, everything's going to be rosy. Everything's going to be great. Isn't that what we look at life? And then reality comes in. Now, us older people know about that, right? Things don't always go like we think they will. Troubles come. Troubles go. But I'm saying this evening, what we're going to look at tonight is what happens when life throws you something ugly. What do you do when life throws you something? You ever had something thrown at you that was ugly? You go to the doctor and the doctor says you got cancer. What happened? Life just throws you something really ugly. Some of you experienced death in your family. You wake up, you get that phone call. Brother Cofty, me and Brother David went down to see Brother Cofty Friday. And I didn't realize this till we got down there. I don't know if Brother David knew it or not. I mentioned Wednesday that Brother Cofty's son had died, and I mentioned this morning, mentioned it tonight, that we ought to pray for him. But Brother Cofty called his son while they were doing CPR on him. The man that worked for his son picked the telephone up and says, "Who is this?" And Brother Cofty told him that it was his daddy. And that's how Brother Cofty found out that his son was dying or was already dead. He said, "I could hear him beating on his chest through the phone." What do you do when life throws you something ugly? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Let's stand together as we read a few scriptures tonight. We won't be long. I just want to give you this thought this evening. But what do you do when life throws you something ugly? Here in Genesis chapter 29, look with me in verse number 9. The Bible says, "And while he yet spake with them," this being Jacob, "Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, 'Surely thou art my bone and my flesh.' And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, 'Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?' And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, 'I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.' And Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me.' And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, 'Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her.' And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in to her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And he came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill ye her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter by his handmaid to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Now we see the story of Jacob. Jacob here comes, and he's out at the well, and here comes Rachel with his father's sheep. And I want to tell you, when Jacob saw Rachel, it was like, wow. Love at first sight. Jacob saw Rachel and said, man, look at her. And we see how Jacob had a desire to be with Rachel. But then we see what Laban did. And then when Jacob thought he was getting Rachel, we find that he ended up not getting what he thought he was going to get. Tonight I'm saying, what do when life throws you something ugly? Are you calling her ugly? I'm not calling her ugly. The Bible calls her weak-eyed. Wearied, but we do see that the Bible does tell us how beautiful Rachel was. And I'm going to say this evening, young person, you're going to look at life and you're going to have some great ambitions. Mom and daddy, you're going to have great ambitions for your youngins. Sometimes life throws you something unexpected and sometimes it's ugly. What do? Let's pray and let you be seated. Father, we sure love you. God, I pray this evening, God, that you'd help us for the next few minutes, God, just to glean. God, from the Word of God, Lord, would you help us tonight? Lord, I'm so thankful you are that present help, Lord. God, as we go through this world, God, I don't know how we'd ever do it without you. Thank you, Lord, for that comforter. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that leads us and guides us. Thank you for the Word of God that encourages us and shows us, Lord. And I pray, God, this evening, Lord, there might be somebody here this evening that's right in the midst of a storm. Maybe they're troubled on every side. God, I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would find a lodging place, God, that they would see, Lord, there's help, there's hope. God, there's probably somebody here tonight, God, that's lost. I pray tonight, God, Lord, that you would show yourself that great Redeemer. And God, we just praise you for what you do. Thank you for these young people. Thank you for Brother Davis and his family, God, for joining us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them in a special way, Lord. And we're going to praise you for all that you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Again, we see here the story of Jacob. You may see the story of Jacob. And Jacob comes, and we know how Laban there, his uncle, and they're talking. And he's like, you ought to stay with us, but you're going to work. What's your wages going to be? And Jacob's like, well, I sure would like to have Rachel. So they make a deal and said, you know, you work for me 7 years, and after that 7 years, she'll be yours. Can you imagine the heart of Jacob? It said there even in the scriptures that those 7 years flew by very quickly. It seemed like just a little bit of time. And boy, isn't that how life is, man? I'm 46 years old in my body, but in my mind, I don't feel like I'm that old. It don't seem like it's that long ago that I got out of high school. It just seems like time's flying by. And again, we've been here 10 years. That amazes me to watch our youngins, how they've grown, how they've come into be great young adults and what they're doing for the Lord and great things we've seen God do. But we see here Jacob, I can just imagine day after day as he was in the field, as he was working for his uncle there, as he thought about, boy, I can't wait. I can't wait till the day that I get to marry Rachel. Boy, look at her. Boy, isn't she beautiful? Oh, boy, look at her. Oh, I love to hear her talk. I love just sitting around under the shade tree talking about our future plans and, boy, what God's going to do in our lives. And I'm sure those 7 years were just filled in his heart of how great things were going to be. And I'm telling you this evening, you and I, as we go down life's path, sometimes we get so round up that, boy, everything's running well. Hey, there's money in the bank account. Hey, the house payment's paid. There's gas in the car. The doctor says everything looks good. Says everybody's doing fine. It just seems like, boy, things are just great. And 7 years clicked on by. They come to that day, and Jacob comes to Laban and says, "All right, Laban, hey, Uncle Laban, I've been here 7 years. That my time is up. It's time to get married. I'm ready to marry Rachel. I love her. She's beautiful. She's the one that God wants me to have." He says, "All right." And the feast plan's made, and the big day comes, and that night he thought, "Wow, this is going to be great." And you know, Forrest and Gabby's getting ready to get married. I'm sure they're excited and nervous. But boy, it's going to be great. I was scared to death at my wedding. I was. You ask my wife. I cried a lot through my wedding. It wasn't miserable. I was excited. I was nervous. I was like, wow. Now, 25 years in October. Amazing how time flies. Boy, I look back 25 years ago and think, man, I've never painted this picture for us, would you? But you have all these things, these ideas, these dreams. You think, man, and here's Jacob. He's excited. He's can't wait. He's seen Rachel, and man, she's beautiful. And boy, that's the one. It's just great. And then Laban pulls a fast. Well, life will throw a fastball every once in a while. Sometimes that curveball comes in. You don't even, boy, I remember when I played baseball, I hated guys that could throw a curveball. You played baseball. You get up there and you snug that plate up. You get up there and that ball come flying in there and he throw that curveball and it looks like he's getting ready to take your head off. Well, that's how life is. Old Jacob, he goes that night, and as customs were, the woman came to their bed chamber there, and I'm not going to get graphic by no means, and consummation was made. And you think, how in the world did Jacob not know that wasn't Rachel? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But when morning came, Jacob realized it wasn't Rachel, that it was Leah. What do you do? Leah wasn't the one that he loved. Leah wasn't the one that he thought was beautiful. Leah wasn't the one that he had a desire for. You're going to find out, young person, mom, dad, all of us this evening, you're going to find out there's going to be times in our life that we don't always get what we want. We're hurting our young people today because we try to tell them they always get what they want, and they don't understand that you don't always get what they want. Jacob didn't get what he thought he was going to get. Instead, he got the older sister. The weak-eyed one, the weary-eyed one, the weeping one, not the beautiful one. So what do you do when life gives you something ugly? That's not what he had planned. That's not what he had dreamed about. That's not what he thought was going to happen. But what do? I'm going to give you two things I observe here about Jacob. Then we're going to turn to John chapter 14 to show you something about trouble. And I'm going to be done. The first thing I see about Jacob that I impress about when things happen, when ugly comes your way. And I use that terminology, and I don't know what Leah looked like. I'm sure she wasn't no ugly looking thing. She was probably a nice young lady. But she wasn't what he had his eye on. To him, his eye was to Rachel. But instead, he got Leah. What do you get? What do? When life throws you something ugly. The first thing I see here about Jacob that I thank God for. Now, he questioned, but he didn't blaspheme. See what I'm saying? Boy, I see so many people lose their temper today when things don't go their way. I see people get mad and begin to spew off at their mouth and act like a bunch of knuckleheads because they didn't get what they wanted. Oh, tonight we need to learn that when things don't go our way, we need to understand that God is the one in control, and then we ought to trust the Lord and leave our mouth shut. Don't make a mockery out of God. Hey, I believe God on top of the mountain. I ought to believe him down in the valley too. But one thing I see about Jacob here in this instance, I see he didn't blaspheme. He didn't act like a knucklehead. He didn't act like most Baptists. Bless God, that ain't what I wanted. Well, I'm just got flesh like you do. And my wife knows, she has to tell me a lot of times, Behave. Behave. I don't always say what I want to say at times. Out at the restaurant and, boy, a terrible day. People don't know how to work anymore. Blows my mind. Young people, if you got a job, work. Amen. Amen. Blows my mind. Go to the store and can't get nobody to help you. Standing around yakking, taking people's money. But buddy, I get in the flesh. I won't tell them what I think. And it's probably best that I don't. Well, I want to guard my testimony. It's hard to give a tract to somebody after you just run them down the road, ain't it? Now that I've made you feel like dirt here, you gonna get saved? Now that works real well, don't it? Yeah. No, but Jacob had a curveball thrown at him. Jacob was lied to. Jacob was took an advantage of. Jacob had some ugliness thrown at his life. What do you do? Jacob said, "What'd you do, Laban?" Laban says, "It's not right for me to give you the younger. I have to give you the oldest one." I want to tell you this evening, sometimes you're going to find out that God's ways is right. Some people don't know that yet. Just because you want it one way, if it goes against God, you don't want it. Boy, thank God tonight for unanswered prayer. Amen. I've asked God to do things that God didn't knew that I didn't need. What do you do when life throws you something ugly? When you thought you was getting Rachel and you got Aaliyah? What do you do? Going to spew off at your mouth and show your ignorance? Or are you going to be quiet? Second thing I see about Jacob here, not only did he not open his mouth and show his ignorance, but he didn't quit. Ain't that a blessing? He didn't stop. So many people get knocked down. So many people stumble and fall. So many people I see something comes in their life and it breaks them, it hurts them, and it knocks them off their feet to the ground, and they get so burdened that they don't ever get back up. Well, Jacob, don't show me that. What did Jacob say? Jacob says, "I'll work another 7 years if I can have my Rachel." Tonight, how much are we willing to work to get what we want? Put something in front of us, just like the brother's got a desire to be in California. It's not his place here. If God wants him in California, he needs to be in California. But he's got to put some feet to it. I don't even know the brother. Just met him just a few minutes ago. Seems like a good brother. He's got a good family. Trying to do something for God. How many churches you been to that you thought was going to take you on and they didn't take you on? How many preachers have lied to you? Hey, I'm a preacher. Trust me, I know. Preachers are some of the best liars I know. I'll call you. I ain't heard from them yet. Right, brother? Yeah. You ever get weary? Sure you do. You ever get frustrated? Sure we do. But Jacob didn't quit. Jacob said, "It was Rachel that I loved. It was Rachel that I had a heart for. It was Rachel that I want to be my wife." And Jacob, even though he was thrown a curveball and was hit by something ugly, Jacob says, "I'll stay in this thing. I'll walk my way. I'll do my job. I'll end this thing right." Paul had a desire to finish his course. Tonight, what do you do? Hey, young person, I want you to have ambition. Hey, young people, you ought to have some desires in your heart. You ought to set some goals in your life. You ought to do some things to reach. So you ought to have some things. I want to read my Bible. I want to memorize some scriptures. I want to lead somebody to the Lord. I want to marry the right man. I want to marry the right woman. Boy, what a mess our country is in, marrying this, marrying that. Hey, young person, moms and dads, don't interfere in God's work. God will put a girl in that guy's life if they'll let God do it. I believe with all my heart God has a man and a woman for each other for eternity or through life. Oh, what do you do when life throws you something ugly? First of all, we need to learn to keep our mouth shut. Oh, it bothers us. It hurts. Second of all, you ought to just have some determination to keep going on. Take your Bible with me over to the book of John. Let me give you this real quickly. hear the Lord Jesus Christ getting ready to go to the cross. Talking to some men that had walked with him and talked with him, and men that the Lord had a relationship with that loved him, and they loved him, and he loved them. Here in John chapter 14, these are very familiar scriptures. What do you do, though, when trouble comes? When life ain't always like you think it ought to be? You know, so many of us have this wrong impression that when you get saved, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be smooth. Can I say that's not true? That's not reality. I know preachers that preach that garbage and it's lies. Ah, if you're right with God, you'll never get sick. Well, that's an easy one to debate. So you're saying the Apostle Paul wasn't right with God. If any man in the Bible was trying to walk with the Lord, I believe the Apostle Paul was a man of all men that tried to serve the Lord. And he was a sickly man. And if you're right with God, your pockets will be full and you'll have a new car. Where do you find that at? That's a lie. And you're setting yourself up for a great fall. But when you realize that life's full of trouble and there's ups and downs, there's good and there's bad, but there's one common thread that runs through it all. And that's the strength that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when life does throw you something ugly, it's not too big for my God. So many people want to go through life with no problems. I don't like problems either. Seems like we have a lot of them, but I don't like them. I don't desire them. I remember way back when we first started preaching, I was talking to an older preacher, and he'd lost a child. He made this statement. He says, I've noticed that a lot of great men of God have had to face burying a child. And I thought, oh God, I don't want to be a great man of God. If that's what it takes, I didn't want to lose my children. I don't think anybody in here wanted to lose a child. Oh, but I understood what he was saying, though, how that trouble, how that hurt, how instead of drawing away from God, it drew him closer to God. Tonight, when troubles come, it's many times for our own good. If we just let God show us some things in the midst of the battle. In the midst of our troubles. Here in John chapter 14, look at it with me, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Here the Lord talking to some men that were getting ready to face some ugliness in their life. They had left home, they left family, they'd left job to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord knew that he was going to be leaving them soon. And he knew that their hearts would be broken, that their lives would be falling apart. And he was beginning to work in their hearts, beginning to minister and to work that oil in and to work the things in that when the time come to cross that path, that they'd be prepared. Listen, friend, you don't need to wait until you're in the midst of the trouble to find out what you're going to do. You need to right now settle in your heart that God is God and you're going to walk with Him and trust Him and believe Him. And don't wait till the trouble comes. You need to be right now preparing. Drawing closer, hiding that scripture in your heart. Oh my, how when troubles come into your life, how the Lord in my life, I can't say anything about your life, but in my life, how things come upon me and God begins to rewind some things in my life and throw scriptures back into my mind, into my heart, that gives me comfort. Oh, you don't wait till the trouble comes. You need to start right now, realizing that trouble will come. That everything don't always go the way we want them to go. So what do you do when trouble comes? And we see here the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I got about four things, and I'm going to read this one verse out of Psalms to you, and I'm going to be done. We got the water's probably getting cold. We got to get them youngins a bath. The first thing I see here, again, we're talking about Jacob and what Jacob did when life throwed him something ugly. He got Leah instead of Rachel. And here the Lord's dealing with some men that are getting ready to face great troubles. What do you do? The first thing you need to mark down that you need to be able to do is you need to understand, first of all, remember that the Lord is in control. No matter what comes your way, God's still in control. When all this world's gone crazy, and it has, the one thing that I know tonight that I'm on a rock that's not going to move. Hey, I don't have to worry about the spin of this whole flesh bowling world. Why? Because I'm steadfast on a rock that ain't turning. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. So we need to understand, first of all, that His grace is sufficient and the Lord is in control. That's what you do when trouble comes. Oh, God, why did you let this happen to me? We've all been there. I'm not saying it's wrong to question God. Yeah, you shouldn't question God. Well, tell Jesus that. Because Jesus said, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Did He not? Oh, bless God, you shouldn't question God. I talk to God that way all the time about my life. I want to know. And He's the one that's going to show me and tell me. But I realize this evening, and I know in my heart that God is in control. And if I'll give Him the helm, if I let Him be my driver, I don't want to be my co-pilot, is the signs I see round about. He's my pilot. I don't want to drive. No, you drive. That's how it is around my house. Who's driving? Me. No, God's in control. The Lord here is driving the boat. Second of all, not only do I know that when trouble comes, when life throws you something ugly, that I need to understand that the Lord's in control, but boy, isn't this sweet to know there's an end. Brother Barker's wife, Miss Jan, she used to say all the time, one of her favorite verses, this too shall come to pass. I don't know how long your troubles might be. Don't know how long that hard path might go. I'm glad tonight as a child of God, I know there's a light at the end of my tunnel. Yes, sir. Hey, this is just a little while. James said our life is like a vapor. This isn't, but just a little while in the big scheme of things. Sorrow may endure for the night. But praise God, joy is coming in the morning. Amen. Hey, what do you do when life throws you something ugly? Get mad and quit? That's what a lot of people do. Put your head down, just believe God's in control. Know there's an end to this thing. Third of all, I see here about trouble. Not only do I see here in John chapter 14 that God's in control, not only do I see that there is an end to this thing, but thirdly, I see that we have everything that we need tonight. What do you mean? Look at verse number 4. He says, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas says, I don't know. Verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, you've got everything you need tonight if you got Jesus to get you through this life. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Have you asked Jesus? How many times we run to everybody else but to the Lord when trouble comes? What do you do, young person? Life's going to throw something ugly at you. I'm not talking about the boy or the girl. I'm just saying life's going to throw something hard. What are you going to do? Is it going to knock you down? Could be. Just don't let it knock you out. Remember there's an end. Remember we have what we need. And last of all, verse 16 and 17 of chapter 14 tells us we got a comforter. What do you do when life throws trouble or something ugly at you? Go to Jesus. He is that great comforter. He's that one. Boy, ain't nothing like I love it now. I got grandbabies and they'll run up there when something's wrong and want you to hold them. My youngins don't do that much anymore. They done growed up on me. You remember when you was a child how it was to get up on mama's lap? Boy, didn't she make everything all right? Boy, tonight, isn't it good to know that we got a comforter? That we can run to Jesus when life is... Listen, He knows. Let me hit that lie that most people in churches believe. God will never put more on you than you can bear. If you'll show me that in the Bible, I'll give you everything I got. Because it's not there. Most Christians don't have a clue it's not there because they don't read their Bible. But that's not true. But boy, I like the way I see it. And I believe this is scriptural. Now, it's not verbatim scripture, but I believe it's scriptural. God will never put more on you than He can bear.
That's right. That's right.
Because I can do nothing without Him, but I can do all things through Him.
Amen.
What are you saying? What do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when you're like Jacob and you're expecting everything to be rosy and you get a Leah instead of a Rachel? Rachel, you're popular tonight. It's a good thing anybody here named Leah, is there? Jacob got a Leah. That ain't what he wanted. And young people, listen to me. I love you. Boy, how we love you. I want to help you. Mom and daddies want to fight with you, not against you. I want to help you raise your children to do right, live right. Let me say this as I close. We looked at that thought of sin several Wednesday nights ago. We looked over in Hebrews about that part of encouragement. I think it's verse 13, chapter 3, if I remember right. Us that are adults, let me talk to you just a moment. Look up here, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa's, mom and dad. Come on, look up at me. When you was a youngin', did you do everything right? Aren't you glad there was mercy and grace for you?
Yes.
Our young people aren't perfect. Your children are not perfect. Your grandchildren will not be perfect. They're just like you. I see so many parents that when they're children, and I hope, I want to practice what I preach. When your children are going through those hard spots of their life, they don't need you to abandon them. They need you to get in there and fight for them. Not against them. Run to Jesus for them. That's what Job was doing. Job knew his family wasn't right. Job knew his children was out doing wrong. Job petitioned God on behalf of his children. So many times let me help you, mom and dad. You know what your problem is? Same problem everybody else has got. It's pride.
Yeah.
You don't want an old brother so-and-so to think that you ain't got your family in order. Or sister so-and-so, you don't think you got. Boy, preachers are bad that way. The Bible says them comparing themselves among themselves is not wise.
Right.
I want our young people. I told our young people this morning, I'm closing. I went in the teenage class. I was talking to them about our day camps coming up, and I hope, moms and dad, you'll bring your youngins to day camp. God's really put a heart desire in my heart to, as we do our devotional times in the morning, I don't want to get up there and be a preacher to them. I'm not going to get up there and holler and scream. I'm not going to get up there and actually just take Bible and just drill them on this is what the scriptures say. There's nothing wrong with either one of those. I want to spend those Friday mornings with our young people. I want to talk to them. I want to let them know that, hey, everybody ain't superheroes. Even preachers fall. Preachers make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. It's not about making mistakes or not making mistakes. It's about what you do when you make the mistakes. That's what I want our young people to know. So many people live this fantasy that everybody's going to be perfect. Well, guess what, friend? Look in the mirror. You're not. And we're always wanting to pluck that splinter out of somebody else's eye when you got a beam in their own. What do you do when life throws you something ugly? I tell you what Baptists do. We step on them, kick them, and throw them out to the curb. I've seen it so many times. Get them while they're down. Why? It makes us feel good, right? Shouldn't. It should break our heart. What do you do when life throws you something ugly? Don't quit. Oh, put your eyes on a Rachel. Put your eyes on something in front of you that you've got a desire to do for God. But realize that when there's a Leah comes up instead of a Rachel, that God's still God. And God's still able. And God's still at work. just mind the Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. Let's stand together this evening.